Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hard work for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
Hi, we're back for another week of N4G Radio for the week of January 12th, 2009. And this week we have the Killer Wolverine back in the house.
Yeah. So back in the hizzle.
We can finally do the Editor's Choice Top 10 Games for each member.
Yeah.
even though the boogie, we don't have the boogie.
Yeah.
He said he would definitely be here for 100, though.
Yep.
Can't miss 100.
You can't miss 100.
You cannot.
If Professor Chaos doesn't show up for 100,
I won't be surprised.
I'm going to riot.
You're going
to... Just by myself, I'm going to riot.
I think I'll videotape that and put it on the YouTube.
What, me rioting?
Yeah, that'll be the video podcast for that week.
There you go.
Yeah.
We could put color commentary to it. I think that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Be like Mystery Science Theater, his rioting. That'd be awesome. But also back with us, we have GamusCon.
Your mom's on Mystery Science Theater.
She was.
Hey there, everybody out there in internet listening land.
Internet
listening land.
Internet, the World Wide Web. Oh my God.
And also back with us, we have the Wombat.
Yes, I'm here and my face is not swollen.
Like he gets stung by a giant.
Because I took care of that bee for you.
Thanks.
He was on his way to Franklin. We had a conversation before
I appreciate
He was heading up this year for you guys. So.
I appreciate you beating him down.
Every bee in the face.
Yeah, and I punched him in the face.
Did you?
You bee?
Yeah, multiple
Fuck you,
times.
Bee.
He tried to sting me in the dick.
Wow.
And no,
you
happened.
You probably would have let it so it'd swell up.
What were you trying to do to that bee?
Don't ask.
But wait, hold on. Man. Stingers in the back. Brown.
I was trying to grab it and swing it, and throw it into the
universe.
I bet
you were.
Yeah.
Did you at least spit in your hand?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Man.
I thought we were off topic, but no.
I'm not off topic.
We're like a different podcast now.
We have
it's
evolved.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Oh yeah!
Hey, Happy New Year! Yeah,
Happy New Year!
Yeah, it's an awesome New Year. I hate 09 already.
Sweet. Man, don't say that. It's still early.
Let's see. I started off with an infection, going 3 weeks strong.
That's what happens for fucking with the bees.
Yeah,
3 weeks, right? So that means it technically started in 08.
It started on Christmas Day.
That's 08.
So Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
You
Merry
get
Christmas
a facial infection.
Yes.
Better than getting a facial.
That's no,
gross.
I don't think so.
And then yesterday, or Saturday, my team gets destroyed in the playoffs. I'm having a great 09.
Hey, you know what that means. Can't go anywhere but up.
You're back on the show.
That's true.
Yes.
And you get to read your top 10 games of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, Wolverine, this week is your upper incline for the rest of the year.
Man, if it's not, I'm coming after
one,
you.
It's your one shining moment.
Indubitably. But we'll try to get some diddling, or as GamusCon put it, yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
That was, I just.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needed to hear that. But okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't.
I didn't
you
need to hear
be.
That.
We'll do some fondling, and then we'll do our top 10, then we'll do some news, and then if we have time left, we'll do some questions.
What do you know? So sounds like a plan.
That's my plan.
That sounds like our format every week, with the exception of the top 10.
I just threw that together. The last second.
Way to do it on the fly, man.
That's how I roll.
Shit.
No, I can't do that on the fly. But we'll start fondling with, since I have to go to him last for the game of the year, I'll start with him first, with Killer Wolverine's fondling.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Why do you have to go to him last?
Because he didn't write it down.
I didn't write it down.
You douchebag. What, you think having an infection in your face gives you the right to not write it down?
You ain't got no infection in your hand. That's what you
well,
write with.
Well, I didn't honestly know about writing it down.
I told you about it Friday.
Yeah, so, I don't listen.
Point, counterpoint.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I just counterpointed his counterpoint. I didn't listen.
Hey, you can just steal Gamma's contest. I'm sure you guys played the same games and liked the same games.
I guarantee you I didn't play the same shit. So...
Yeah, it's all crap. My list.
I'm not saying it's crap, but
at
I'm
least you can freely.
I think you were implying.
No, I'm implying I didn't play any RPGs.
Mine was even written down in very girly purple ink.
Really?
Yeah, you like that?
I should have done mine in crayon.
That's beautiful.
You should have done yours in crayon.
God.
So what'd you been playing?
What'd you fondle?
What'd you fondle, bitch?
I played a little bit, like 5 minutes of Resistance. Two.
5 minutes.
So Electric Boogaloo. Not enough to really talk about it.
Okay.
Well, then why'd you mention it?
What?
I said, well, then why'd you mention it?
Because I, you know, letting you know that I got it, because you wanted to play the co-ops.
Oh, yes. I got your message online, so we do.
Co-ops.
We do seriously need to play it one day.
My PS3 has mainly been spent playing Little Big Planet.
Nice.
Little Big Planet is the bomb.
Yeah.
LBP.
Yeah.
And the place to be.
Play that a few times. 360, obviously more Fallout. A lot more Fallout. Oh, you. What the fuck, man? Saints Row, seen it. Box Office Smash. I played Puzzle Arcade. Guitar Hero World Tour. Mirror's Edge. That's...
Fuck. You didn't like Mirror's Edge?
Nope. Not at all.
Man.
No
I enjoyed it.
No likey. And that's it, actually. Most of my time was spent on Fallout and... Little Big Planet.
LBP.
So how about that?
On a mission trying to find Mr. Warren
G. And since we talked
G.
about everything, you know, there, there's not really much to say. How about that?
How about that?
Well, Puzzle Arcade. Anyone else play that?
I've not played Puzzle Arcade.
I haven't played Puzzle Arcade.
It's fun.
I have also not played Puzzle Arcade.
If you like puzzles, it's worth it.
Is it better than Doritos?
Yeah.
What is Puzzle Arcade? Is it like
it's just a collection of
jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, jigsaw puzzles, and you can set how many pieces you want, and it set the settings from anywhere from beginner to intermediate. Which I think the only difference is you got to flip pieces over in like intermediate and beginner. They're all set there for you. You don't have to flip them. You don't have to rotate them. And I think there's like 30 some. If I'm not mistaken, puzzles already, but they have a weekly one where you can download and play.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not the game.
I meant the weekly download. Yeah. I know the fucking game
it's
ain't
not,
free.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, it's pretty fun if you like puzzles. And you don't want to have the hassle of going out and buying one and finding space to put one down.
Yeah, who wants that fucking hassle of that old cardboard shit? Let's do it digital.
Yeah.
Let's do it digital.
But, I mean, the only limitation is the screen is so big and... If you put over 1,000 pieces, you have, like, limited room to work with.
Yeah.
That'd be hard, especially for, like, people who can't see real well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got this... I didn't play around with it much because I didn't understand how to use it. This little workstation you bring up with, like, the Y button. And I'm pretty sure you just put pieces in there that you've connected, and you just put them aside until you need them again and then bring them back. I don't know. So, it's fun. If you like puzzles, I'd recommend it. I love puzzles, so...
Puzzles are cool.
Yeah. And
I don't know about that. I enjoy puzzles, but I don't know that I would go so far as to say puzzles are cool.
In the most generic sense of the term,
gotcha.
I would say yes.
Gotcha.
I did play the trial game of that crossword game.
Merv Griffin?
Yeah.
Didn't he make, like, the Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah,
he makes a bunch of game shows.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune.
And I actually downloaded a community game because there was a blackjack game on there. So, I like blackjack, so I downloaded it.
How much was it?
200 points. Hmm. And it just seems like, though, the only beef I have with it, it seems like a lot of times it favors the dealer. When I was playing, the dealer got 6 blackjacks to my none. I'm like, what the fuck?
You son of a bitch.
So, but I like it. I like blackjack, so I downloaded it. It's worth my...
Always bet on black, buddy.
And that's roulette.
Yeah.
We're not blackjack.
Shut up. I know that.
And I did mention on the PS3 I got Power Up Forever.
Power Up Forever?
Forever.
What is that?
It's like Geometry Wars.
Oh. Gotcha.
But it's
forever.
You can go up and down as long as you want. It's just like it scrolls. It's endless scroll, left and right, and it's Geometry Wars, but you don't have any boundaries. It gets pretty chaotic pretty quick. So
I would think
I don't know how else to describe it. I mean,
no
see,
boundaries.
I play that too. I think it's like Geometry Wars meets Flow. Like, cause like every level that you beat, you get bigger, and the enemies get smaller. Like, it's almost like you're growing as you go, and then, like, the enemies that were you had to shoot in the last level, you can, like, just run into them now, and they'll die.
See, it's kind of like the Spore cell phone game was like that.
Yeah.
And I think the first level of the actual Spore full game is like that, too, but I'm not sure because I haven't played the full game.
Yeah, Power Up Forever is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like the concept of evolution.
Basically, for every guardian you beat in the game, which they're like the bosses, like you get bigger, and then like some of the stuff that was huge in the last level will now be smaller, and you can actually kill it.
So, yeah, I didn't notice. I didn't get too far in it though. I got my ass kicked pretty good.
I made it to like level 8 or 9 or something like that.
And the game's not easy.
No, it's not easy. It's fun though.
Yeah,
I don't care much for the music, but then again, I'm not into the.
Oh, I didn't pay attention. See, I didn't pay attention to it because I was too busy trying to get the hell out of the way of the enemies when they were swarming me.
It's cool, though.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
I think it's really good. And wasn't that Capcom?
No, that's Namco.
Oh, my bad.
Namco Bandai.
Namco.
Wow. It's Namco. A good one by Namco, so.
Namco.
If you have a chance to pick it up, pick that shit up.
Pick it up.
And, yeah. And
shit just got real.
It did.
It just got real. Real quick.
That's it?
Yeah.
What are you going to play this week?
Way to put me on the spot, man.
Sweet. You know, it happens every week. I don't know why you didn't think it was going to happen this week.
I'm out of my flow. More Little Big Planet. There's
Wow. Holy
really?
Toledo.
Sorry. I got a little gas.
Spotlight
supposed to
together.
Get all those out before the show.
I did. I have more.
I lost my train of thought. What did I say last?
Rewind that shit. It was interrupted by Zero's vomiting.
I think I said, Little Big Planet. I'm playing more because I'm so thankful I can be online with that now.
Yeah.
I'll probably play more Fallout.
Yeah, you will.
But I won't.
I want to play Gears. God damn it. I need to play Gears.
Well, then play Gears. Nobody's stopping you.
Yeah, I'm stopping me.
Can't stop. Won't stop.
Yep. So.
Is that it?
Moving on.
All right, well, we'll move on to the Wombat.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Can I give a shout out? I'm sorry. Can I give a shout out?
No.
Oh, God damn it.
Yes, you can give a shout out.
All right. John W. UK. He sent me a message to get well soon and get back here.
No, that's
I appreciate
nice of
that. That was nice. You good peeps.
That was very nice.
You're good peeps?
Good peeps. Good
Jesus
guy.
Christ.
Where?
I'll show you later.
Oh, go away.
What?
What the hell
what
just happened?
What just happened here?
I don't even know, and I was part of the conversation.
I don't know. And a very special shout out to Mrs. Peterson.
Oh, for God's sake.
As always.
For
as
her always. Special kind of medicine she gave me.
That's bad medicine.
Oh, it was good medicine.
Oh, no, it was bad medicine.
Oh. I've been really trying, baby.
It was naughty medicine. So what have you been following?
Well,
don't say Mrs. Peterson.
I was about to say, unlike Killer Wolverine, I have not been fondling Mrs. Peterson. Now, what did I play this week? I played on the 360. I played a little bit more Mega Man 9 just to mess around with it, just to kind of kill some time.
I saw you on PSN playing that.
On PSN? No, you didn't.
crap.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You saw me on Xbox Live maybe playing it, but you didn't see me on PSN playing it. I only own it on Xbox Live. I played it just long enough to like kill some time. While I was waiting for the optional install for Valkyria Chronicles.
Well, come on. You're going to get flamed for
it's,
it again.
It's optional, yeah.
But And just to clarify that point ahead of time, we weren't complaining about the install. Gambus was just saying that he installed it, but he hadn't had time to play it yet.
Yeah, I only had enough. I only had like 20, 25 minutes to play the game. So,
and then that conversation sort of segued itself into complaining about other games that do not give you the option. So we weren't complaining about Valkyria Chronicles itself.
There you go.
As a nice seg, I did finally play Valkyria Chronicles this year.
Yeah.
It's about damn time.
I know. I've been talking about it for 2 months.
Jesus.
Wow. And it is definitely all that I expected it to be. The game is phenomenal. Gameplay is amazing. The art direction is amazing. The story is good. The voice acting is good. It's a very, very, very worthy title. So if you own a PS3, you should go buy it right now.
I can't right now. I'm in the middle of something.
Well, we don't need you here anyway. Go buy
it. Oh, okay. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I thought the gameplay was incredible.
Yeah, what kind of very, game very good. It's an RPG.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
But
it's a hybrid of a strategy RPG intermixed with a quasi
third person shooter.
Third person shooter.
Basically, you have the whole thing set up to look like a storybook. All the character art and all the animations and everything look hand drawn. It looks almost like a painting come to life. And it's set up to where each chapter that you play will have several cutscenes that you watch, and then you'll play a battle, and the battle is controlled. At first, it'll give you a top-down view of the map that looks like it's like sketched out, and you have a certain amount of they call command points. And like moving a ground unit costs 1 command point, moving a tank costs 2 command points, and basically you pick which unit you want to move. And then it zooms down into the map, and it's third person right behind your character. You have a bar of what's called action points, and that tells you how much you can move. So it's free running, but when you run out of action points, your character's stuck wherever they are. So each character can attack or heal each turn that they take. And when you attack, you hold down the aim button, or you hit the aim button, which is R1, and it goes into like a over-the-shoulder aiming. And you aim at what enemy you want to attack, and there's like a orange circle with a red crosshair, and your shots will go anywhere in that circle. And then you hit the X button to attack. Your character will fire off 5 shots or however many shots their gun has, and they'll either hit or miss the other character. And then the other character has a turn to shoot back at you. And then the nice thing is it's turn-based, but it's not strictly turn-based. Because, let's say you fire on a character. Let's say there's 2 enemy soldiers and then there's you. You fire on one of them. You put your gun down. They have a chance to shoot at you. Well, your turn's not over unless you're completely out of action points. So you can still move after you've shot. But meanwhile, both soldiers will shoot at you while you're running. And the same way, if you have 3 guys positioned correctly, while the other characters are moving, they can get shot by your players even if you don't have an attack turn. So it's all about making sure that you're in the right place when you want to be there and making sure you're very quick about firing, getting to where you need to go, and then ending your turn.
So strategy RPG.
Right. Strategy RPG, but it's not like your traditional grid-based strategy RPG.
Yeah. Right.
So the demo's on PSN.
Might download, but it's not my type.
It might not be your speed.
Hybrid mix. So.
Yeah, but the game itself is phenomenal. The graphics are ridiculous.
Yeah, a pretty good size of the game is trying to find cover.
Right. That's yeah.
Yeah, like you go behind structures or
sandbags
or whatever you can find. So in a way, it reminds me. It reminds me like a little bit of like your typical stop and pop third person shooter.
Right.
At the same time, it's a turn based strategy game.
Right.
It just made my brain explode.
Yeah, it's you really have to play it to sort of get the feel for it.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely fantastic.
It sounds convoluted when you describe it, But when you play it, it actually feels simple.
Yeah, and you pick up on it very quickly, what you need to do. And if you like, even if you don't like RPGs, if you like strategy games, I imagine people who even like real-time strategy games would enjoy it, because there is a degree of you have to make sure that your units are in the right position at the right time. Your tanks are vulnerable from behind, and unlike your actual player characters, you have to use your action points to turn the tank. So you have to make sure that you have enough action points to turn the back of your tank away from your attackers, regardless of where you were before the turn ended.
How do you earn action points?
You get them replenished every turn.
Oh, okay.
But if you, like, because, quote-unquote, people get tired, if you use, you have three command points, and say you have three people on the level, you don't have to use each command point for a different person. You can use it on the same person three times, but they have less and less action points each time. And then your units earn health back after you take a turn, the enemy takes a turn. When it's your turn again, your units will get health back. So it's really, really cool.
It is
very fun. And the story's really good. I went into it sort of expecting kind of the cheesy voice acting. The voice acting in it's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
So I can't build the game up enough. It's really, really good. So good, in fact, and we'll discuss it later, but so good, in fact, it actually made it onto my list, even though I've only put probably 3 hours into the game. So it probably would be higher on my list if I had put more into it, but we'll get to that later.
There you go.
But other than that, I played also some more Little Big Planet. I played I already said Mega Man 9. What else did I play on 360? Seems like there was something else I played. Oh, I played some more Grand Theft Auto, actually, on the 360. I had an urge to go back and play some of that, and played a couple missions of that the other night. And you know what? Haters be damned. I still love the game. I think it's awesome. And then I played, on the mobile front, I played a game that Killer Wolverine actually got me the code for, a game called Newtonica 2. And it's a lot of fun. It's very, very weird. It's very quirky, but if you like puzzle games, you'll have a good time with it. This is going to sound very odd. You have a rubber ducky in space, and I think it's actually supposed to be an actual duck, but it looks like a rubber ducky. And you've got a series of speakers in each level, and then you've got a goal that you're supposed to get the duck to. You can't control the duck directly, but you click on or you touch one of the speakers, and it goes boom, and it sends out a sound wave. And then the sound wave, as if it was a wave in the water, moves the duck. And then you have to figure out what speakers you need to hit in which order. Or you need to move the speakers. Like, some of them you can move along a line. You need to figure out where they need to be positioned to get the duck to the goal without it losing momentum. So it's really, I mean, it sounds very weird, and it is very weird, but it's a lot of fun. And it's very clever, I guess is the best way to put it. So I played quite a bit of that, and the other nice thing about it is sort of optional goals in each level, too, that are more difficult, where some levels will have, like, a donut out in space, too, that you have to try and collect and still get to the goal, or they'll have, like, some other little disc thing that you're supposed to try and collect and still get to the goal. It's very weird. But
what the fuck?
But it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a good little puzzler. And then the last game I played that I played a pretty decent amount of was... I actually got a chance to preview Prinny, Can I Really Be a Hero, which is a new game coming out from NIS in February 17th. It's a spinoff from the Disgaea series, and it stars the Prinnies, the little penguin-looking guys with the knives, and they explode, and they say dude a lot. It stars him, and it's sort of a side-scrolling 2D action platformer. It really reminds me of Castlevania, specifically the Dracula X Chronicles, in terms of the actual like side-scrolling platforming aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Your character has, you know, several different attacks. You can slash with the knives. You can do sort of a Mario-like hip drop where you jump in the air and you hit down in the jump button and he like does a hit, butt slam basically where he falls from the air real fast.
Butt slam.
And then the really cool thing about it is the characters, everything's in 2D, but it's rendered in 3D as well. So when you do a specific specific attacks, like for instance, if you jump in the air and do the jump slash,
yeah.
The perspective actually, it almost looks like the screen turns and it's sort of a quasi-isometric 3D view of it. So it almost looks like the actual combat in Disgaea, where it sort of turns and it's sort of isometric,
wow.
And he throws his knives down and then it flips back. But it's really hard. Especially, there's two difficulties. There's regular difficulty where enemies can hit you three times before you die. And then there's hell difficulty where as soon as you get hit by an enemy, you die. And you only get 1,000 lives to beat the entire game, which sounds like a lot, but you will die a lot. I haven't played, obviously, the whole game yet because I just played the preview code, but it's going to be tough. You can already tell. It's got a hub world, too, where you can collect stuff and you can collect these orbs to restore these spirits that open up new gameplay stuff. But the bulk of it is the 2D platformer, and it's really good. Especially you will love it because you're into, like, Castlevania and Ghosts and Goblins and all those games, and you'll love it.
Sounds intriguing.
It is, very. And it's very, it's got the your standard Disgaea humor too, which is nice because that's a big part of what makes the series so great. But the entire premise of the game is that Etna, who's the demon lord from the actual main series of Disgaea,
yeah.
She's like second in command to Lehar or whatever
The girl character.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she commands the Prinnies,
uh-huh.
And someone stole her dessert. So she sends them out angrily to collect the ingredients she would need to make the ultra dessert. And she gives them a scarf that prevents them from exploding because they're prone to exploding. And that's why you have 1,000 lives, because she sends out 1,000 Prinnies, and then when each one dies, they just pass the scarf to the next one, and they go.
Oh, they're expandable.
Right, they're
expendable.
Expendable. Not expandable.
When you explode.
But
yeah.
But no, it's shaping up to be really, really good, and the graphics look great on the PSP. So I'm really looking forward to it come mid-February.
You played a lot of weed smoking games this week. We got ducks. And
I know.
Donuts,
I played a lot of crazy and crazy exploding knife wielding
penguins
who
scarfs.
Who are actually
purple
souls of criminals. Actually.
They are.
They were people who were incredibly evil when they were alive
to collect ingredients for dessert.
Right. So now they're being punished by being slaves in the underworld.
Leave it to the Japanese to intermix. The insane and the macabre with the cute and the cuddly.
Indeed. So
it's
yeah,
on the back of the box.
It is.
That should be a quote.
It looks like it's going to be awesome. So if you've got a PSP and you like this guy, or you just like action platformers, you should definitely pick it up on the 17th.
There you go. And his preview will be live this week.
Yeah, it should be.
Yes.
I'm interested in this game now.
It's awesome.
But it's in February.
It's true.
In February,
Street Fighter Month.
Yeah.
I'll bring you the preview disc next week, so you can play it too. So you can give everybody your opinion on it as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'd be sweet, man.
So there you go. That pretty much wraps it up. And then as far as future fondling, I downloaded the Lord of the Rings Conquest demo because I don't care. I like Pandemic. I like Star Wars Battlefront. Even if it's mediocre, I'm gonna play it, and I probably will like it. So
is that what kind of game it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to that. Hmm. But
I didn't even know what kind of game it was, so
yeah. But
I should get it for free.
It should even be.
I've heard mixed reviews of people who've already played the demo. But like I said, it seems like it's right in my wheelhouse, so I'm gonna give it a try when I get home. That and more Valkyria Chronicles, and that pretty much wraps it up.
All right, so we can move on to Gambus Diddles Con.
Yeah, because my fondling this week is not as much of a fondling as it is just a diddle.
You diddled it?
Or a piddle.
A piddle.
Or perhaps a grope.
Or how about a fiddle faddle?
Yeah, a fiddle and a grope.
Sweet.
So but yeah. Grope it.
Some form of harassment.
Okay.
Of the sexual nature.
This is going to be pretty quick. It's going to be pretty quick. I played on the DS, I played a little bit more Disgaea, a little bit more Chrono Trigger. And that's it for the DS.
Man.
Yeah.
That was quick.
That was quick.
That was
quick. Well, it needed to be because mine went on way too long.
And then on PS3, I played Valkyrie Chronicles. That's pretty much it for this week.
Wow.
I'm serious. Yeah.
What'd you think? What'd you think of Valkyrie Chronicles?
Okay.
I want you to break it down for me.
Valkyrie Chronicles. Incredible. It looks absolutely beautiful. Everything from the graphics to the music. It's lush. It's got a lot of green.
Lush. Man, yes. That's a good word.
Lush.
It's very lush. And it reminds me of a Studio Ghibli anime.
What does Ghibli mean?
It's the name of the studio. It's Hayao Miyazaki, the director who directed some... He's like one of the biggest Japanese animation directors in Japan.
Yeah.
He did Kiki's Delivery Service. He did My Neighbor Totoro. He did Nausicaä, Valley of the Wind.
You don't know these?
He did.
No, you don't. Don't lie.
I actually do. I don't even watch anime, and I do because we used to carry them at the store I worked at.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. The art style in Valkyrie Chronicles is very similar to a Miyazaki film. It's got a lot of nature. It feels very natural. Like you see a lot of greenery. Like the grass is like glowing green. Just about. You know, shrubs, trees, and like the village, even the architecture of like the housing and everything has kind of an old look, but at the same time, almost a like a smooth, almost not quite cylinder, but like a curvaceous feel to it. I mean, nothing is like rigid.
Right.
It's like everything is smooth, like all the armor. Like if you're fighting a tank, or if you're fighting like armored troops, it's like there's no like sharp points.
Yeah,
really.
It really does in terms of art style. It really does remind me of Skies of Arcadia.
Yes,
they're very similar in terms of art style. So with the exception of obviously Valkyrie Chronicles looks like it's hand drawn and Skies of Arcadia didn't, but in terms of character design and everything, it's sort of similar.
Yeah, the. My first impression is that it looks incredibly beautiful. It sounds incredibly beautiful. The music is fantastic.
Right.
It's got really good music. It's like whimsical, and it also reminds me of also like a Studio Ghibli or Miyazaki movie. And then the story happens, and it also reminds me of an anime. You know what I'm saying? It reminds me of one of those really, really good animes. Like, not the crap that you see on, like, Toonami or Cartoon Network, but, like, one of those that, you know, is only out on DVD, and that's the only way you can see it. So I'm real impressed by that. I got tongue tied, but
you know what's weird about it is you're shaking your head.
No, yeah, I don't know what's weird about it.
I expected it just because I'm used to from most Japanese RPGs when they have violence in them.
Yeah.
I'm used to it being sort of muted, but they don't really like shy away from showing people get shot. Like
yeah.
You actually see people get shot and like blood comes out of the back or this one soldier gets shot and the camera like slowly pans and you actually see the bullet hole like smoking in his back and then he falls over. It actually, like when they first started, the troops come in and they start shooting civilians and I'm expecting it to do what most games that are similar to that too, where it just shows the troops shooting and then you see the people laying on the ground, but actually it shows them shoot and you see the guys like get hit and fall down and
you actually see a couple women get shot and killed.
It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty brutal and because the way the game looks and the characters of the game, the game, to me anyway, conveyed a deep level of sadness. Because it's like such a beautiful land, you know?
Right.
And these people, you know, seem like good people. You know, they're just minding their own business. And then this big giant empire comes in and says, we're going to kill...
All your base or belong to us.
Yes, all your... They're looking for some kind of ore.
Right.
Like, looks like a... Kind of like a crystal ore.
It does kind of look like a crystal.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they're trying to, like, get in this other country and get the crystal ore. And
do you get the Sword of Destiny?
No, you might get the Gun of Destiny.
Is there a fucking elder in it?
There's a couple, I guess.
God damn, it's holding up.
I think some of the elders got shot.
Yeah,
in like the in the raid.
What chapter are you on?
I think I just finished chapter. I'm in like chapter 3.
Yeah, that's right where I am.
Yeah, I'm a little over. I'm almost about as far as you. I think I'm probably a little bit further back, but yeah, the tanks are pretty cool.
Yeah,
and yeah, you're right. The weak spot is the back of the tank because you see the electricity on the back of the tank, like that's the engine. Like right when I first saw that, I was like, man, that's the weak spot.
Yeah, it's a pretty obvious weak point that you must strike for massive damage. No, it's glowing blue, though.
Okay.
It's glowing blue, and it's got a lot of electricity pulsating all over it. So,
you could probably hit that weak spot for massive damage.
You can tap that weak spot?
Yeah, you can tap that weak spot.
There you go.
But, I think I've already explained it probably about as well as I probably could explain it. But
everybody should at least download the demo.
Yes.
Seriously, there's a demo. There's no excuse for not playing it. Download the demo, play it, see if you like it. If you don't, you don't. If you do, go buy it.
Yeah, and in terms of gameplay, I think it's fantastic. Even though it's on paper, it sounds like a weird, convoluted pairing of like different genres. But when you actually play the game, it makes sense. It feels good.
Right.
I mean, And it's really cool because it's like yeah, we get to go into another battle, you know, because it's awesome. And the one where you have to actually evade the tank was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Where you have to make it to the
alleyway.
Alleyway, yeah. So, I mean, it's a fantastic game so far and definitely future fondling, this game. And the thing is, it's weird because my two nieces were over and they were watching me playing. I'm like thinking, I don't know if they should be watching this. People are getting killed.
Yeah,
you know. But at the same time, the characters are, you know, they look so, you know, like a down to earth, you know, good animated movie. And you know, I didn't want to say, nieces, you gotta go in. You can't watch this, or you can't play this, or I'm turning this off. You know, it's one of those fine lines where. You might have to be a mature child to, you know, maybe take in the stuff that goes on in this game.
Right.
But yeah, it's really good. And like I said, the story it made me feel sad because it's like the evil empire is invading the lush, like paradise village and filled with good people and stuff. But, yeah, it's a great game. Mm-hmm. And it's so great, in fact, that it also made my list.
Did you spend your week on thesaurus.com?
You know, I was just going to ask, where's your pocket thesaurus?
The motherfucker over there, like, pulling out these words. And it's whimsical. It's macabre and delicious. Like, what the fuck is going on?
So we can I can't speak now.
Expect.
Thank you. Your review?
There's a review of it on the site already.
That's yeah, right. There's all
who reviewed it?
Cat.
Oh, did she?
I just throw that out.
What'd it get?
8.
Man.
Well, you think everything you like's got to get like a 9?
No, not at all. But I just think this one deserves more than an 8.
I don't know.
I mean, it's obviously review is each person's opinion, so I'm not criticizing her review. I would give it higher than an 8.
Well, there you go. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
I would say that probably. The one clink in Valkyrie Chronicles armor, if you will.
Chink.
Chink.
Chink. There you go. Clink chink. Yeah. Would be
stop laughing.
Would be that it's extremely linear.
That is true.
Yeah. When has that been a downfall?
Hmm. It only yeah. in only in this generation.
You want me to yeah. sag?
Yeah. But thing is, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm having a great time, and I love the game. So
that's all that matters.
That's yep. all that matters.
And that's it for me. There you go.
Could have segged out of your linearity argument.
Into?
I hate Fallout.
What?
Hate it.
You're ridiculous.
5 hours in, bored out of my mind.
You're ridiculous.
See?
You are entitled to your opinion.
You see that?
But I happen to incredibly disagree with you.
That's
opinion.
Fine if you disagree with me, but I'm sorry.
You are entitled to it. You
5 hours in, I'm bored as shit.
I disagree too, but I see it. I can see where he's coming from.
I don't even see it.
I'm sorry. I did the whole Blood Ties quest, and that there was nothing fun about it to me. Go talk to these people. Go find the note. Take the note to the person. Have a conversation with this person. Have a conversation with that person. That's boring to me.
But you see, you don't have to approach it that way. You could have just killed everybody.
Yeah, it's about yeah,
but
choices
the, but
made,
see, but see, here's the thing. I don't like the combat. When you're just running around shooting or meleeing,
yeah.
It's I don't like the shooting because the shooting is, you know, you have your little reticule and it's so small and you don't have enough ammo to play it like a first-person shooter, even though they promised you could play it like a first-person shooter.
Well, that's kind of the point early on. Is that you just come out of the vault, you're struggling to survive, you don't have a ton of ammo. That's why early on you have to play it more survivalist than commando.
But I don't like that.
Well.
So that's me, though. I don't... That was like your Persona thing. I'm sorry I couldn't sit there for 4 hours to wait till the game to start.
It wasn't 4 hours. It was just two...
I've tried
a little bit more.
I've tried over and over and over to get into this game. I can last about 30 minutes before I just want to turn it off. And, you know, and I respect everybody that likes it. I can understand what there is to like. I do. I understand the huge game, the multiple choices, the massive amount of shit that you can do. But a lot of it bores the piss out of me. I don't like the combat. I don't like the story. I don't like the characters. I don't like the world. I don't like walking for 20 minutes to get to the next area. And linearity, yeah, it doesn't have any. And that's something that I don't like about the game because it's so big that it's too big for me. It has the same problem Oblivion had for me. It's just too big with too much not to do in between. Like walking from one place to the other, I'll run into a dog or a mole rat.
You'll run.
Well, it
changes things.
Depending on where you're at on the map.
And it'll get...
No, it won't for me.
Well, yeah, it won't for him because he won't play anymore. But
no, there's harder enemies that you encounter later on that just will...
You know, I know a lot of people will sit here and tell me that I'm stupid and I'm wrong, but you
Nobody's
know
Nobody's going to tell you that. We just disagree with your opinion.
I don't... I'm bored. I do not find the game fun at all.
Like I said, I know... I can see where you're coming from. I honestly do.
I just...
I can see where you're coming from. Thing is, though, you can't really. It's kind of weird. It's like it's an acquired taste.
I understand that people like it, and it's a lot of people that like it like Oblivion,
mm-hmm. right?
And I do not like Oblivion. I got bored with Oblivion in the same respect. It's almost like there's too much to do, and it doesn't kind of hold your hand enough. It gives you freedom, like utter freedom.
You know?
And that's a little too much for me. And then also in the same fact that there's a lot of talking, and I'm not interested in the dialogue, I guess. And that's a huge part of the game, and that means I'm not going to... It's not like when I played Mass Effect, I was really interested in the dialogue. Because the acting was so good, the facial animations were... It was like watching a movie, you know?
Right.
It's the same way with Metal Gear, that it's so well... acted and scripted, you know, the camera angles are flipping around and, you know, you're seeing all this different sides to it. And I like that. In Fallout, I'm standing in front of the person. They're standing there with me. No motion. Just, what do you mean I'm not doing this?
Wasn't it,
you know, and I'm like...
The same, along the same lines as Knights of the Old Republic, though.
Similar to Knights of the Old Republic. But see, Knights of the Old Republic made up for it because it was more action-oriented.
Well, I'll give you that.
You know, and it's... See, Knights of the Old Republic has two things going for it that are going to get me. Number one, it's Star Wars.
Well, right.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, and I'm a Star Wars geek, so I'm going to be interested in it. If Bethesda made a Star Wars game, I'd probably play the fuck out of it. But that's because I'm a Star Wars fanboy. Can't help that. Although Galaxies sucked ass. I hated it. I was so bored. It was the same thing where I would, like, run around for 20 minutes and hit this thing in the head with a stick, and then I go talk to 15 people, and I got bored with it, you know. But that's me. I don't like that kind of game. I never have. I didn't like Oblivion, didn't like Elder Scrolls, don't like Fallout. I'm not a Bethesda fanboy. I respect the game. I think it's got a lot going for it. I think it's really good, but it's just not for me.
What about Fable? I mean, they're kind of similar but different.
Fable's more action-oriented, but yeah, I've gotten frustrated with it, too, because the same issue is it gives you too much open freedom. Like, it doesn't walk you through the story as much as I feel like I would want it to. Like, there's not... it's not as direct as some of the more open-world games. Like, Grand Theft Auto, as much as I give it shit, it leads you to the next storyline.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you and it says, okay, here's where you need to go.
Yeah.
You can go off and do other shit, but here's where you need to go. Where Fable and Fallout don't do that. They go, here's a quest, you can do it, but I'm not going to take it's part of the story. You can go talk to these people and get another quest that you may feel is part of the story.
The main quest pretty much holds your hand in Fallout.
But it
tells you where you need to go to get to the next part of the main quest.
But see, after I finished Blood Ties, the only quest I had optional was following his footsteps, and it wasn't telling me anywhere to go.
What's it say?
Nothing.
I can't remember what the first part it says.
It says,
following
your footsteps, the checkpoint that I have right now says, continue to find out about what happened to your father.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got to talk to the bar.
Moriarty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but where does it tell me that?
Somebody tells you that
yeah.
in the dialogue.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it is now, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You got to remember it's been 2 months since I talked to anybody about this quest, and it's not telling me where to go.
Yeah.
So I'm like... Okay, so I started walking.
Usually, though, it should have a marker on your map telling you where to go. Checkpoint.
I go to my map, my world map, and I have all these locations that I have listed. There's no line going anywhere. There's nothing. And I go to my quest, make active.
And you hit X to place marker?
Nothing.
That's weird.
Not a thing.
Maybe
I'm
it's
like, okay.
some kind of weird glitch you got going on, because I never had a problem with that.
I will say this about Fallout 3. I think it's a fantastic game, but you have to be a certain type of gamer in a certain type of mindset. And I must admit that I'm very rarely in the mindset to where I would enjoy Fallout 3. But I do think in itself is a masterpiece. But a part of the problem with the game, I feel, is that there's too many. Like, an hour goes by that you didn't really accomplish anything.
See, but, yeah, I don't see that as a problem. I guess that's the difference between myself and your guys' mindset.
But
I don't see an hour going by without accomplishing anything quest-wise as a problem. Because there's so much other stuff to do.
But I do see that as being an incredible addition. It kind of walks the fine line of being... A masterpiece, I think it's a fantastic game, but it's like an independent film, you know. It's not going to be, you know, something that you'd want to watch every day or something like that, but it's great in what it does. And I think Fallout 3 is great in what it does, and it gives you basically unlimited freedom.
See, I agree with you, Wombat.
I
feel like I accomplished something. Even if it's finding some ammo, I'm like, I accomplished something. And I found Lincoln's repeater.
Right.
I'm like, that's cool. So
yeah, there's a bunch of like hidden weapons and secrets and other stuff hidden in there. So
yeah.
I have yet to find myself in the game not having anything to do. Yeah. And I'm 40 hours in, and I've completed almost every quest.
But here's my issue with the game that bothers me with it. I very rarely find myself in the game having fun, and that's me.
Yeah, I have a blast just walking around.
Five hours in the game, and I can't remember one time where I go, "Wow, this is really fun to me."
See,
but that's just me.
I love finding different, you know, towns and different items. And
yeah, the thing is, I think I can see both of your guys' points, and to be truthful, I kind of agree with both of you.
Oh, yeah, I definitely understand where he's coming from. I honestly do. And I don't have anything, you know, it's not worth criticism. I mean, I agree with you. But I love the game. I think it's
all about Yeah, I mean, it's all about your sort of mindset. Yeah. That was probably the best word.
There, I mean, there's got definitely it's got its problems with. Like, I mean, me and you discussed, you know, sometimes like when you're in the VAT system and you're to where you are, to where I'm at, and I aim at your head.
Right.
Sometimes it won't even hit.
But I explained that to him because it's a dice roll.
Right, because you got a 95% chance to hit.
Right.
And so you're not always going to hit. But see, to an action gamer, that makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
And I still look at it from action gamer's point of view.
And I think that's partially Bethesda's fault because they said, oh, if you want, you can play this like a first-person shooter. And you can't. I'm sorry, I play first-person shooters. You cannot play Fallout like a first-person shooter.
It's a janky first-person shooter.
You can later on because when you get really far into the game, you will never have the running out of ammo problem again.
But he didn't say that. Well, he said you can play this game like a first-person shooter from beginning to end.
I'm not defending the guy. I'm just saying.
I know, but
you can later on.
But I know, but me, when he said that, I'm like, okay, so if I get bored with the slow part of it, I can just go out, run and gun. No, you can't. You can't, because I'm running out of ammo constantly using VATs. You know, and I have a lot better chance of killing enemies with VATs than I do just normally.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. And it's also, like, I only keep items where I know I need. And it's just frustrating that I don't have enough, I guess, I'm not strong enough to carry a lot of different
things.
That's
another thing. Why does there have to be 15,000 coffee cups in this fucking world?
Those
empty
are traded for caps and stuff.
Well, and that's all... Bethesda's games always have that. They always have stuff around that you don't need.
You can just walk around like, "Hey, look, there's a pin."
But I mean, that's if the world exploded tomorrow, there would be pins and coffee cups and shit laying around.
Well,
I know. It wouldn't vaporize everything except stuff you needed for the game.
But also, if the world exploded tomorrow and I had to walk to Middletown, it would take me 25 minutes. But that doesn't necessarily mean in a game I want to walk 25 minutes and do
once
nothing.
Once again, it's mindset.
Like I said, I just don't. I wish I, had the option of carrying more. And I know you get that perk, which I use that perk. But I still carry the stuff I need. And I found myself over encumbered, and I was so fucking far away from Megaton to put it in my locker.
Right.
So I had to drop a lot of shit so I could just fast travel.
I don't know, but I'm going to continue to piss people off because I played Skate 2. And I just don't. I understand why people love that game. I do. It's really well designed. But I just find the whole analog stick control a little cumbersome. I've grown so accustomed to using the Tony Hawk, like, button inputs and combining tricks and stuff. And when you're playing Skate and you pull down the analog stick and pop up and you do, like, a 5-inch jump. This is realistic, but it's not really fun to me either. So, I guess we'll see.
The first one, use your analog sticks?
Yeah, the whole game is based on the analog sticks. The camera is focused on, like, your feet. So you don't really see, like, the camera's focus is on the feet. So, like, that's what you do.
At all times?
Like, all times, yeah.
That's weird.
It's a different camera angle from Tony Hawk. Like, it's not focused on the character, it's focused on your feet and the board.
Is it hard to navigate?
Yeah.
I would think it would be.
Yeah, it's hard to do certain tricks and stuff, and it's not like you can... Like, I keep jumping in this game and pressing Y to grind. Yeah, that doesn't work. There is no grind button.
Right.
You just land on it and grind. So. Yeah. It's just... I just don't like it. I guess... I understand how it's a good game, but I just... I played Power Up Forever, which is good. I played Luminous Supernova.
And how was it?
It's really good. But here's your problem. Have you played Luminous before?
Yeah.
Then you're going to remember a lot of this.
Isn't it just different background
videos? It's the first PS3 version of the game to come out. It does have two new modes, which one of them I think was in Luminous 2, which is the sequencer mode, where you can make your own music.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go in and, like, the little mixing tracks and put them together and mix them together and all that stuff. You can do that, which is kind of cool because you can make your own music.
Yeah.
But a lot of the backgrounds, the music, the stuff, it's all from the other games. This is almost like a compilation.
Really?
Of everything you've already played, which if you've played the old ones is bad, but if you haven't, it's really good. Hmm. I mean, this is, like, the best version of Luminous you can buy. So if you don't own one, then you definitely should buy it. But if you've played it before... You're going to be like, I've done this before. So, and I played Meteos Wars, too.
And how was that?
That's a weird... did you play it for the DS?
Briefly.
That's a weird concept that I could see how it would work a shit ton better on the DS. Because you can touch the blocks.
Yeah.
Instead of having to move the analog stick all over the damn board. Because basically what it is it drops these meteors, which are the puzzle blocks. And you put three of them together and it causes the whole section to go up in the air, like shoot up in the air. Well, if it's too heavy, you have to go back up while it's in the air and connect another three to shoot it further. And it's weird. It's fun. It's addictive. It's fun. But it's got to be a lot better on the DS.
Yeah, it worked pretty good on the DS when I played it.
Yeah, using analog sticks for that is a little weird. It's a lot harder because you got to run all over the screen. And
yeah, it would... Come to think about it, it would be pretty convoluted to use an analog stick.
They did about as good as you could do with it, but it's still complicated. The other thing I played a lot of, I play a shitload of Portal. Still alive.
Portal?
Sweet. Yeah, the arcade game, Portal. It has Still Alive. It has the original game, which I played through the whole thing again. And I played through all of the open maps, and now I have I think, 5 or 6 advanced maps left, and I've done every single map in the Portal.
And I bet they're just insane.
Some of them are ridiculous. Like, it took me forever to figure out some of them. And that game is so rewarding, because when you do figure it out, you feel really smart. Or you feel really stupid, because you didn't see the obvious from the beginning. You're like, I'm an idiot. You gotta be careful. That game can make you sick if you're queasy. Real fast. You start getting those momentum puzzles where you gotta fall through the hole and keep falling through the hole until you get faster and faster, and then your camera's spinning around and looking in different directions.
Blah, blah.
And the last thing I did is Friday night, I tore through some Little Big Planet levels. Like, a ton of them. There are some sweet-ass levels popping up now. I did the roller coaster again, which I love that roller coaster. But I found this little obstacle course that this guy had made that was just incredible. I mean, I wish I'd remember the name. I hearted it, so it's on my hearted list. But it was just incredible. I'm trying to think if there was any other really, really cool levels that I played. I played a ton of levels. Yeah, I can't think of any of the other ones. Oh, the inside the body one. Somebody made a level where you're inside somebody's body.
Really?
And you have to, like, go into the stomach and cure the indigestion, and then you have to go into the heart, and you have to connect the battery so that the pacemaker starts back up and the heart starts working again. Then you have to go into the lungs and kill these little things that are chewing on the side of the lungs with a gun.
Nice. It's,
whoa.
That's one of the... If you do a search for the highest rated levels, you'll find it, because it's, like, one of the top highest rated levels. But it's really cool. And Dinosaur Island, there's two of those. If you play those, that one's... Well, at the end, you get on a T-Rex that's, like, shooting things and blowing up a wall.
Nice. There's two of them?
Yeah, so there's two of them. Up? There's a sequel to it, too, yeah.
Because I played that one, and it said look for the sequel.
Yeah, the sequel's actually up now.
Sweet.
And there's a water slide one that I played that was really fun.
Hmm.
This guy... The description was a guy and his 6-year-old son made it. And you, like, take this elevator all the way to the top, then you get up there and you just slide down this water slide. Then you get on one of the hook things and slide down, and, man, I love that game.
It's an awesome game.
Very awesome.
But I think that's everything I played this week. I mean, I played a lot, but I played a lot of arcade games. A lot of arcade games.
Awesome.
And I think I popped in, I popped in Saints Row again. And played more of that.
Saints Row.
This week, I really don't know what I'm playing this week. I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to this week is I bought Planet Earth on Blu-ray.
Nice.
So I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited, and all my TV shows start up this week, so I probably won't get as much game time in as I usually do.
TV shows.
TV shows are awesome.
Yep. But I think that's it. So let's see here. All right, so now that the fondling is over, we're going to get into our top 10 list of the year. And I'm sure that after ripping on Fallout and ripping on Skate 2, my top 10 list is going to make people cry. So, but that's how I roll.
That's how you like to make people cry.
I like to make people cry. And it just goes to show you out there that you don't have to be a slave to the man.
You do have to be a slave to the man.
Fight the power.
You can have your own
fight
opinion.
The power,
and it's okay.
That be?
So we're going to start with Gambus. We're going to start with Gambus Khan.
Uh-oh.
And his top 10 list. Your top 10 games of 2008. Now, let's start up here. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let's hear those.
The honorable mentions are Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest IV for the Nintendo DS.
Well, as much as you talked about those two games, I'm curious as to what's in your top 10 now.
Yeah, the only reason why I mentioned just these two games as being honorable mentions is because they're basically, Chrono Trigger, in my opinion...
It came out in 1989.
No, actually, it was like...
91.
93. It was either 3 or 4.
It was over a decade ago.
It was over a decade ago. And basically, it's the exact same game with just added stuff. So it feels like a straight-up port. So that's why it didn't make my top 10.
Fool me once. Shame on me.
Fool me twice.
Shame on me.
Yeah. And then the Dragon Quest IV, even though it's a complete remake...
It's a portification.
It's still a game that was released, a good decade and a half, almost 2 decades ago. So... That's also the reason why that one is an honorable mention. Another honorable mention is Korg DS10.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised that's not on the top.
Yeah, because it really isn't a game. So.
Now, see, that depends on your interpretation of a game.
That does. That does. And.
It's true.
And I don't know.
Wow. That game was shunned from your top 10 list and apparently a review.
Oh, snap. That's because it's not a game.
Way to weasel out of that one, Khan.
Yeah.
Khan!
It's a program.
So did you call him Kalia?
But I will say that if it was like, if we had a reward for best non-game of the year, Korg DS10.
I want a reward for best game.
Okay. Yeah.
What?
What?
He said if we had a reward for a game.
Gotcha. Award.
Award.
I want a reward for my best games.
Another honorable mention is Braid, just for the artsy-fartsy crowd The artsy-fartsy crowd that is like, Braid must be in everybody's top 10 list. It was so innovative. You know?
He's going to come across and beat you. This is not in your top 10.
So, without further ado,
we should mention before you get into your actual top 10 list ahead of time, in case we haven't mentioned it recently, in case you haven't listened to the show the last couple of years, our top 10 lists are not like some people's top 10 lists where they're based purely on the actual like technical merits of a game. It's the top 10 games we enjoyed the most.
Well, that's why there are choices,
right?
Yes.
Exactly. So. If don't like jump on and be like, well, this game got a half a point less on your review scale than this one, but you rated it higher. It's all about what games we enjoyed the most.
There you go.
Onto your top 10.
Thing is, though, my top 10 is kind of like what you just said, but also take in consideration the technical aspects.
Gotcha.
Is yours in any order?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mine's not really, so.
Dude, it should be in order.
Well, I'll rework it while everybody's going around.
Alrighty. And the thing is, I had to rework my list a little bit, too. A very, very tough decision.
Agreed.
Of not just number... Well, number one was actually the easiest decision of all of them. Because I knew that the game that I would give number one to was one of the most incredible things I've ever experienced in my life.
Okay, let's stop teasing me.
Are you listing from bottom to top?
We got to do bottom to top.
I'm going to do 10.
Okay.
Got to go bottom to top.
Yes. Number 10, Fallout 3.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. That's all the way at the bottom. What's up? What's up?
What's up with that?
What's up?
10 is Fallout 3. Because it's a fantastic game, it gives you unlimited freedom. You could do whatever you want. You could save everybody. You could kill everybody. You know... I had fun with it. I had some great fun with it, but at the same time there would be, little spells here and there that would make me bored. But as an overall package, fantastic.
I like my overall package.
Yeah.
At least you're satisfied with that.
Oh, yeah.
Number nine.
Number nine.
Number nine is...
Number nine.
Number nine is a game that was bigger, better, and more badass.
Oh, snap.
Gears of War Part 2.
Hell yeah, dog.
Well.
Still at the bottom.
I don't care. It's in the top 10 list.
Hey,
cut it out.
I'm going to stab you in the throat.
It's awesome. It's a... it's like the summer blockbuster movie. It's like the screen just blows up when you're playing this.
It's like a giant summer blockbuster movie.
It's like a giant action-gasm.
Yes, it is. It's like the ultimate epic of machine guns with
it's like
chainsaws.
It's like a Michael Bay version of video games.
It is.
It's big, dumb, and stupid and fun.
You son of...
But
don't call it stupid.
It's not. I don't think it's stupid. It might for. I don't know.
Yes or no, Con? No. Is it stupid?
It's not stupid.
Thank you.
Squishing people's heads against the floor? That's stupid fun.
It's adolescent.
that's another
you
word.
You just called Gears of War 2 immature, you bastard.
It's not immature.
I think we've spent enough time on Gears. What's number eight?
Yeah. Number eight.
Number eight. Lost Odyssey.
Interesting.
Everybody forgot about that game.
Yeah, it came out like in the very beginning of last year. I think like February or something. I really enjoyed this game. It's fantastic. It does what it does extremely well, and some of the gameplay mechanics are, you can almost say, are a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger.
Spiritualification.
And this game probably...
It's fun. I'm sorry.
You know, he's going to be out of office in a week. What
I know.
Are you gonna
I'm going to miss him.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to miss him.
What?
He keeps doing his Bushisms. Oh. I said, you know, he's going to be out of office in a week. What are you going to do? How will you fill time on the podcast?
I'm sure he'll make news after he's out of office, too.
Anyways, sorry.
But, Lost Odyssey, a game that probably brought me the closest to shedding a tear over the storyline. Extremely well done game. And exciting. It starts off, you know, exciting, then it gets slow, and then it gets exciting again. It's like a really good epic movie. So, Lost Odyssey, fantastic. And you know, this was done by the director, Sakaguchi, who did all the Final Fantasy games.
Sakaguchi-san!
And to me, Sakaguchi was the soul of Final Fantasy. So, since he was basically fired or let go from Square, you know, I feel that Square has lost its soul.
Wow,
so,
that's deep.
So Sakaguchi, you know, is trying to keep the flames alive, but unfortunately he doesn't have as much of a financial backing as he did when he was part of Square. So, but other than that, Lost Odyssey, fantastic game. But it was not my RPG of the year.
Okay.
My RPG of the year, or... AKA would be the seventh. My seventh.
AKA number seven.
Number seven.
Number seven. Persona 4.
Wow.
A game that takes a step back from next gen and makes me play a PS2 game. And not just to play PS2 game, but to play it and be like, holy crap, this game is freaking awesome. This game is incredible. I love the characters. I love the story. It's got some of the best voice acting ever. Like, especially the girl who plays the main female character, Chie.
Chie?
I got...
Chie.
I should have researched this earlier.
Water your Chie and watch it grow.
I should have researched this earlier, but... But she's a fantastic voice actress. So
is your mom.
Oh.
Snap.
Wow. But Yeah. Persona 4, if you see it, pick it up. It's great. It's fantastic.
I'll pick it up and put it back on the shelf.
Wow. Oh,
Damn, man.
You are brutal today.
Yeah, you're brutal.
You are
not
jaded.
Kind of game. Not my kind of game.
All righty. Okay, number 6. That would be Valkyria Chronicles.
I thought you said Persona was your RPG of the year.
Oh, snap.
But,
I don't
really consider Valkyria Chronicles an RPG.
Gotcha.
I consider it a strategy game with third-person shooter elements.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, adds to the effect of it being such a like a blended genre game.
True that.
So that's my number 6. Fantastic game.
Fantabulous.
Really good. And a beautiful game. Quite beautiful. Number 5, Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 the Disney.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it was like somebody was waiting on a comment about the game or something.
Left 4 Dead is incredible. Do any of you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. Are you worried about your list?
Does anybody disagree?
That game's full of zombification.
Yes, zombification.
Sorry.
But yeah, Left 4 Dead, if you enjoy multiplayer and you enjoy killing zombies, this is probably the best game I've ever played killing zombies.
Oh, snap, he just called out Resident Evil.
Yeah, he did. I just made the call out. And I don't think 5 is going to do it either.
Oh, snap.
Well, they're not. Wow. You're not facing zombies.
Yeah, they're not zombies.
Yeah.
So, shut up.
Wow, man.
Whoa.
It's getting...
Oh, there's about to be a fight on this bitch.
Heated.
I hope you brought your waiters because it's getting deep in here.
Why the fuck does the Game of the Year Awards always call us fights?
I don't know. We always end up fighting with each other.
I like to fight.
I'll fight you.
All right. So
Saturday night's all right for
yeah,
fighting.
Yesterday wasn't. Stupid fucking Panthers.
Anyways.
All right. What's up? Number 4?
Number 4 also has a 4 in its title. Grand Theft Auto 4.
Are you fucking serious?
Damn.
Yes. I am serious. I think Grand Theft Auto 4 is probably the best Grand Theft Auto ever.
I forgot about that game.
Well, I didn't. I just didn't put it on my list.
It's on my list.
I know it is.
This game, it just... If Fallout 3 felt like a dead world, Grand Theft Auto 4 feels like a world that's very much alive.
It's alive!
Wow. Nice.
From the TV to all the radio, like even though Fallout has radio, but this game has like crazy radio, like all like a ton of different things, and it was just so crazy of all the crazy things that would just happen. But at the same time, it still had a pretty quasi serious storyline thread that went throughout the game.
Right.
You know, it was fantastic. It's kind of like if you can imagine The Sopranos, but like every once in a while, like maybe once in every season, there'd be an episode where they just hang out and have fun, like go to an amusement park or something,
right,
without no one getting killed or anybody offing anybody. You know, like an episode where they just get into like a comedic situation or just a fun situation. It's kind of like that. It's like it's serious, but at the same time,
it's got its funny side, too.
Yes. It's got its underlying humor. Some of the humor, a lot of the humor is dark humor. But it's a good time. I mean, I haven't beaten the game or anything. But, I mean, what I've played of it, I really appreciated it. Which brings me down...
To the top three. Let's do this like Brutus.
Number 3, Dead Space.
Wow, that's high up on
that
list.
That is pretty high up on the list.
Fantastic game. Incredible game. Best audio ever in a video game.
Best audio ever.
Ever. And one of the most terrifying games you'll ever play. Probably more terrifying than the entire Resident Evil series put together.
What's funny is, like, you get to this point in his list and you hear about the games that he hasn't mentioned yet, and you know what his number 1 and 2 probably are, and you're like, what happened to those games?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, yeah, man, Dead Space, a tour de force in sci-fi horror. And that's a box quote that I just made up.
I bet I can guess what your number one and two are.
What do you think my number two is?
Little Big Planet.
You know something? I think I should call you Mr. Nostradamus, sucker. Little Big Planet, the game of... If Fallout 3 was a game of infinite freedom, but at the same time, most of the freedom is kind of mediocre, I would say Little Big Planet is a game of infinite possibilities beyond even your comprehension.
See, I would call Little Big Planet the game of infinite fun.
That too. That too.
LBP, man.
LBP. And the thing is, this game is so good that it'll probably actually be a better game next year and even better the year after.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, because there's going to be... There's so many possibilities, man, and it's fun. It's just so good. It's so good just, you know, just screwing around and seeing creativity, like living creativity from people who aren't even in the industry, you know, and you just play a level that they just created. And, you know, a lot of it's, you'll play some crappy levels sometimes, but you just jump into a really good level and you're like, man, I'm in the midst of...
Genius.
You know, I don't think anything's crappy on there because I won't be able to create anything.
Well, I will tell you, there's one level that is crappy. I played it over the on Friday. Literally, the guy labeled the level the worst level ever. You fall out of the entrance and land on the exit.
Nice.
Okay, well, besides that, because that doesn't take very much creative talent.
Yeah.
That actually does take some creative talent because who would think of that?
Well, somebody's already done it, so please stop doing it.
That's a part of the genius of Little Big Planet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it was rated 4 stars.
Nice.
Okay.
So it's the idiot community that caused me to play it.
and the community created games, and then in combination with the downloadable content that can segue into higher levels of creativity, it's like a rocket going to the moon.
Now,
literally,
I will guarantee you, I know what number one is.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, I'm just gonna put my list away. I mean, my list that I wrote down is pretty much useless now, because my number one game of the year is
Madden 09.
Need for Speed?
No.
Sonic Unleashed?
No. It's a little game called Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
Driving. Yes.
Meryl. Top 10 list. Botacon. Your grandma. Gray Fox. Monkey in a diaper. Guitar Hero.
Metal Gear Solid 4. The Guns of the Patriots. An incredible work of genius. An incredible, you know, effort put out by... over 100 people in Japan.
100.
At least 100.
It's like 1 billionth of the population over there, right?
Population?
Something like that. this is the
population.
Populification.
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 This is the type of game that takes 4 years of development with a lot of R&D development.
Your mom's got a lot of R&D development.
Basically, hey man, you're ruining the moment.
I'm sorry,
but take for instance the development cycle. It's like essentially 4 year development cycle. The last several months being just trimming the gameplay, just getting the game to play extremely well, and I think they did a work of genius. This game feels like better than most $200 million movies that are made. The imagination of Hideo Kojima and the writers that helped him and advised him, the imagination of a real world environment, but at the same time that feels so sci-fi, but at the same time it feels like it's just around the corner. It's a game that makes me reflect on what's happening in the world, you know, in other countries, and when you hear about like the private military contractors like Blackwater, when you hear about technology like nano machines and nanotechnology, cloning, DNA coding, everything is pretty much brought to the table in this game, and in a way that it's never done before, and it's so cinematic. I mean, you can argue that it's like just as much of a movie or more of a movie than a video game, but if I was running a movie contest, I mean, it would be up there with Dark Knight in terms of as a movie. Judging this game as a movie, I think Dark Knight would probably win out, but it'd be a close second as a movie. But I mean, I think a part of this, it being my favorite game of the year, part of it has to come with knowing what it took to make the game, how the developers actually went to other countries. Like researched architectural design and took limitless photographs of environments in like the Middle East. You know, they got educated on guns and military terminology like to like the umpteenth degree, and it's just incredible. But since I could talk about this game all day long.
We need to move on.
Yes, we do need to move on. I'm sorry that I'm hogging up the whole podcast, but Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, my favorite game of the year, and that is that.
I have to say I'm disappointed to see Mega Man not even on your list, or Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD. I was surprised, as much as you love that game.
Honorable mention.
You can't do that now. All right, so we move on to the Wombat and his list.
I also have some honorable mentions.
Honorableification.
Honorableification mentions. One of my honorable mentions, which I assume is probably... I was surprised it wasn't on Gambus' list, but actually I assume it's probably on both of your lists. Soul Calibur 4. Is an honorable mention for me this year.
Oh, man.
Wow, you didn't even have that one either. Wow.
And if my honorable mentions were ranked, this one would rank slightly higher than Soul Calibur 4, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Another one that wasn't on your list.
Yeah.
Also honorable mention for me this year, Dead Space. I didn't get to play enough Dead Space to actually consider it.
Yeah,
It wouldn't have been fair for me to put it on my list because I didn't play it enough to put it on my list.
Yeah, you got to play the whole game before you can appreciate
right.
that.
I don't know about that.
Well, he only played one level. Well,
right.
Yeah.
Another honorable mention on my list, and the only reason it didn't actually make my list is because it's a sports game, and as much as I love the game, I'm a little weird about putting it on my top 10 games of the year list, just personally. It's MLB 08. The show. It's a great game, definitely for baseball fans. And another honorable mention that almost made my list, and this one would probably have been a little controversial if it would have made my list, but the addition of Valkyria Chronicles sort of bumped everything else down a number. That is Too Human, which I actually enjoyed quite a bit this year. Regardless of the technical flaws in the game, I had a lot of fun with it. It was in my number 10 spot. Like I said, Valkyria Chronicles sort of bumped some stuff down. So that is at the top of my honorable mentions list.
There you go.
As far as the actual list, it begins at number 10 with Mario Kart for the Wii. Was it the best Mario Kart game of all time? No, it wasn't. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I had a blast with it. You know, racing ghosts online, racing other people online, going through the Grand Prix modes. I had a lot of fun with the game. I spent a lot of time with the game. I had a lot of fun with it. So it comes in at number 10. Number 9 shares its number with the title of the game in Mega Man 9. Comes in at number 9 on my list, which is, I mean, no surprise that it ends up on my top 10 because it's a Mega Man game and I'm a huge fan of the Mega Man series. But it is pretty incredible when you consider that an 8-bit game was one of my top 10 games last year because it was so good. So that comes in at number 9. Number 8 is a little game that I like to call Resistance 2. Makes the list not only for the good single-player experience, but for a fantastic online multiplayer experience. The co-op is off the charts. The competitive's good, too. It had to be on the list, so it comes in at a solid number 8.
But not a Metal Gear Solid number 8.
Not a Metal Gear Solid number 8. That didn't make my list. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Number 7 on my list is the aforementioned Valkyria Chronicles. As we talked about earlier, it's a phenomenal game. Like I said, it does actually remind me a lot of Skies of Arcadia, which was one of my favorite games of all time. It probably, to be completely honest with you, if we were doing this list 2 weeks from now, it would probably be a lot higher on the list. But once again, I don't feel like I can accurately list it higher yet because I haven't played enough of the game yet. So right now it stays at number 7, which is pretty, pretty glowing praise for a game I'm only 3 hours into, that it's already captivated me enough to be one of my top 10 games of the year. Number 6 on the list is another one that I was a little surprised you didn't have on your list, Gambus, Star Wars: The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, that's another one I was confused.
One of the best Star Wars games of all time. Not my personal favorite Star Wars game of all time, but one of my favorite Star Wars games of all time. Another game that captivated me start to finish, that I felt like some games you beat because you feel like you have to. This game, I felt like I have to beat it. Like, I know that doesn't really make sense, but instead of beating it because I had to, I felt like I had to beat it because it was so good that I just kept pushing through it because it was amazing. Number 5 on my list is Fable 2. Huge open world, tons of stuff to do. The combat is simple and deep at the same time. It's got its whole, you know, economy and buying houses and working and having a family, and just there's so much stuff to do that it's almost mind-boggling. And it's actually another game that may have been higher on my list had I played it more than I had. I have put a pretty decent amount of time into it, but if I'd played it even more, it might be higher on my list. Number 4 on my list also shares its number
that
with the
be...
title, and it would be Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, snap.
Oh.
Grand Theft Auto 4, you know, I know that it's kind of the cool thing to hate on Grand Theft Auto 4 right now. I understand that. I understand that you guys have legitimate reasons for not liking the game. For me, phenomenal game. I think it's top-notch. Not only because the game itself is fantastic, and not only because, you know, the city is so alive and Nico as a protagonist is so compelling, but it gets a lot of points from me for the simple fact that, like, Gambus gave Metal Gear points for the fact that it had to be a very difficult game to make.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto gets points for me because it took a lot of guts from Rockstar's perspective to say, you know what, we want this Grand Theft Auto to be gritty and more realistic and to tell a story and to actually do it, despite the fact that they knew it would alienate some of the fans that they got from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. They made a conscious design decision to make the game more realistic. And instead of bowing to pressure from gamers who basically wanted an updated version of San Andreas, they said, you know what, we have a vision for the game. We're going to stick with it. We're going to make the game that we want to make. And that gets points for me. because, you know, they stuck to the vision that they had in mind for the game, and I think it turned out fantastic. I am one of the people who was actually looking for more realism in the Grand Theft Auto series, and I'm glad that they sort of took it that direction with this one. If they want to go back, in, you know, with Grand Theft Auto 5 and make it more cartoony and add the jetpacks back in and that kind of stuff, they're more than welcome to do that because I love San Andreas too. But I love the fact that they actually took one of the Grand Theft Autos and said, you know what, we're going to make this one serious, dark, gritty. We want to make it feel realistic. So Grand Theft Auto 4 comes in at number 4 on my list, both for quality of the game and the design choices that went into it. Number 3 on my list, Metal Gear Solid 4. Everyone knows that as much as I love the first Metal Gear Solid, not a fan of Metal Gear Solid 2. I thought that Metal Gear Solid 2 in many places was convoluted for the sake of being convoluted.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 4 was not convoluted for the sake of being convoluted. It was convoluted, but it was because they had to explain all the loose ends that they opened up in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
You know, I have long been anti-cutscene. I think too many cutscenes ruin a game, normally speaking. Because it takes you out of the action and forces you to watch. Metal Gear Solid 4's cutscenes were so engrossing that I never felt like I was pulled out of the game. Not only were the production values through the roof, the voice acting was amazing. You know, everything about the game just screamed high production value. And it was very, very, very well done. Now, the gameplay, you know, which for a lot of people gets glossed over when they talk about Metal Gear because everybody discusses the actual, like, the story and the cutscenes and everything. But the gameplay was fantastic. Once again, here's another case of a developer making a conscious design choice to say, you know what, our game is based on stealth, but I want to twist it a little bit and I want to make it so people who like to run and gun can do that too. And, you know, that took a considerable risk as well because you had a lot of fans who were saying, you know, it's not a run-and-gun shooter. Don't make it a run-and-gun shooter. They said, you know what? I've got a design choice in mind that I want to do. We're gonna give it that spin, too, if you want it to have that. So that took a lot of guts as well. So that's number 3 on my list. Fantastic game. I know I dog it every now and then for the length of the cutscenes, but it was a phenomenal game. I can't downplay it.
About the gameplay part, they were inspired by Western games, and I actually know that for a fact that the development team, on their off time, they would play a lot of Call of Duty.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, I bet I can guess what number 2 and 1 are.
I bet you can. Number 2 is Little Big Planet.
Yep, knew that was coming.
You know, what can I say about Little Big Planet that hasn't been said by every single person that's ever played it, ever?
I don't think you can.
I mean, it's an amazing game, and the fact, my mind boggles at the fact that with such a huge scope and such a huge goal in mind that they were able to pull it off as seamlessly as they did. That will blow my mind from here until eternity, because Little Big Planet is a game that on a concept level sounds fantastic, but you would look at it from a concept level and you would say, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. And they pulled it off more than anybody could have ever expected. So definitely, definitely worthy of the number 2 spot. Number 1 spot.
Two worlds.
I tricked you all. It's too human. No, I'm just kidding. Number 1 spot goes to Fallout 3. Big surprise. I love the game. I think it's phenomenal. I am a Bethesda fanboy as opposed to Zero. I will freely admit that. And I actually, opposite of Zero, loved the first 5 hours of Fallout because of the fact that you were short on ammo, you're always short on health, you're always short on food, because it made you really realize, like, it really put you in the shoes of someone who just came out of a vault into a wasteland and had nothing. and had to learn to survive before they could do anything bigger. So many times you're kind of thrust into the role of the hero, and it's just kind of like, well, you wake up and now you're the hero. You save the whole village. In Fallout, you have to learn to survive before you can save anybody else. You have to learn to save yourself before you can save anybody else. And the fact that it gives you moral decisions to make in the first 5 hours that really tempt you to do the wrong thing because you're so short on money, you're so short on food, you're short on health, you're short on weapons and ammo, it tempts you to do the wrong thing and get rich quick, quote-unquote. So I hands down, Fallout's my game of the year. I played it more than any other game this year. I loved it more than any other game this year. I won't go into it anymore because my love for it has been discussed on the podcast many, 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 many times. But hands down, my game of the year, Fallout 3.
Oh, goody.
On to you, Wolverine.
We go on to the Wolverine. This should be interesting.
I have a few honorable mentions, and this is just, you know, a few. Soul Calibur 4. Not a huge fighting fan, but it did a lot of things right, and I played a good amount of it. Spidey, Web of Shadows. Had to throw it in there. It was an awesome game. It had its moments of frustration, but I played the shit out of it. I loved it. Mega Man 9. I'm not a huge fan of Mega Man 9, or Mega Man series, rather. But I like it, and I had fun with it, and damn, it's hard. Mortal Kombat vs. DC made my honorable mention list. I like me my Mortal Kombats. Not so much keen on the DC side.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, these next couple, I don't remember. I get times confused sometimes. So if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Vegas 2, Rainbow Six.
Yeah, that was this year.
Was that this year?
Yeah. Came out in, like, March or something, I think.
Okay.
All right.
I forgot about that
game. That game is awesome.
Totally forgot about that game.
It's one of the better shooters out there. It's hard, now, really hard.
Is that your number 10 or is that an honorable mention?
These are all still honorable mentions.
Okay.
I have a few of them. Unreal Tournament 3.
For 360.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun playing that. Single player, of course, there's shit, but the multiplayer is just off the wall. And 1942 Joint Strike.
Nice.
That was a good game.
It was incredible. It should have made my top 10 list, but there were so many other things above it. But that made it because it's fun, and I still have yet to get mad at it, which is rare. Mercenaries 2, I didn't play enough of it to, you know, actually put it on the list if it deserves to be there, but I had fun playing a co-op with Zero.
If it would have been a top 15 or 20 list, yeah. Mercenaries probably would have made my list.
And this is in no order either, but T-Human made my honorable mention list.
Nice. That's what I like to hear.
I actually did enjoy playing what I did play of it.
Yeah.
So, but all right. Top 10. Now, this one, it deserved to be on here, and it's, you know, bottom. It's number 10, and for me to say this, it's a pretty incredible. It deserves to be on everyone's top 10 list. Mortar Storm 2 is just a phenomenal game, and you know I hate racing games, and for that to be on my list, it just says something.
Interesting.
So it's beautiful, it plays great, controls awesome. It's hard, like you said a couple weeks back. It is
extremely hard,
but it is extremely fun. The online, no problems that I've encountered so far, no lag. It's just that voice chat. But I'm pretty sure that's my connection's fault now that I realized. So, Motor Storm 2. Number 9, which I just thought of while Wombat was going on, Army of Two.
I forgot about that game.
Wow.
I remember just playing the shit out of that game. And it just, the co-op system is awesome. Probably the best I've seen or ever played. So, 8 is Braid. I don't know what to say about it. It's
quizzical.
It's very quizzical. It'll make you feel dumb and make you feel smart at the same instance. So it definitely gets a spot on my top 10. Very good for an Xbox Live Arcade game. Dead Space is number 7. It probably would have been higher, but I didn't play enough of it. And it's a shame that I didn't, because what I have played of it, it's just phenomenal. It is probably the scariest game I've played thus far.
Scary.
It's just phenomenal. Star Wars is number 6.
The Force is with you.
Not a big, huge Star Wars fan like a couple people here, but the game, you know, after playing the demo, I was going in with bated breath, and I'm just, I was impressed with the final build, and I liked it, and I really wish I had enough points to download the
Jedi Temple.
Yeah, because I watched you play through, and that just looks awesome.
It's awesome.
Left 4 Dead, number 5.
Left 4 Dead, sweet.
One of the most awesome multiplayer games ever. Ever.
It really is.
Nothing can really touch it.
Nothing compares.
It's just so much fun. I mean, you can, playing as much as I did, I am kind of sick of it right now, but I played a lot of it. A shit ton of it. Another game that I played a shit ton of, number 4, Saints Row 2. Game leaps, it's not leaps and bounds over GTA 4. It does a lot of things same, but a lot of things are different that make it just a little bit more fun. And it's humorous, it's fun to play online, single player, the activities are awesome, and it's awesome. I don't know what to say about it, but I continue to play a shit ton of that, and I will continue to play a shit ton of that.
Sweet.
Top 3 were extremely hard for me. So, number 3, Gears of War 2.
Wow.
Hmm.
Megaton.
What happened?
What happened?
What happened?
And I love this game. I love this series. The multiplayer, good. They added the Horde mode, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. It plays just as well. It's a great game. The story leaps and bounds over the first one. You actually care. I said all that in my review, but whatever. Number 3. Number 2, Little Big Planet. And I'm so glad I got to start playing this online a couple weeks ago. Because if I wasn't able to, this would not have made my list. It's the online that really makes this game shine.
Yeah.
Single player, it's not meant for single player, and it's tutorial, whatever. But the online, there's endless, endless possibilities. And minus Zero's example, but whatever, you were warned about the worst level ever, but I don't think there could be any bad levels. Whoever puts a level on there, you have more creative talent than I do, and you all deserve kudos. Everyone.
Agreed.
So the game is just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Number 1. Dun, 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 dun. And he's already shaking his head.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fallout 3. There is not a single game on this list that I have not played more than Fallout 3. I keep going back to it.
You spend all your time walking.
That is not true. I don't know what else to say. Wombat hit it right on the head. And I love the way it was presented. I love the way you started out the game as being birthed.
Yeah.
And going through the tutorials as a child. That was really well done. And everything is... I'm not a fanboy of Bethesda. I did like Oblivion. And I like this game. It does a lot of things well. It does some things wrong. But what game does?
Right.
And then, you know, we've had multiple long discussions on Fallout, and they're all worth, I don't know, I think it's just, it deserves Game of the Year. It really does, in my opinion. I just have so much fun. Something just keeps drawing me back into playing it. I get mad at it, maybe turn it off, 20 minutes later I'm gonna go back and play it. So Fallout 3, Game of the Year.
No, it's not. What?
Well,
I don't bow to your wishes.
It's not my wish. It's Game of the Year.
Whatever.
So, Zero, what's your top 10?
Yeah, that's not in order at the top, so don't pay attention to that. My honorable mentions list of Gears of War 2, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. I really wanted that to be in my top 10. There were just too many other great games.
Yeah.
Braid is in my honorable mentions. Call of Duty World at War is in my honorable mentions.
Which I didn't forget about it. I just played it that one time, so I didn't think it would fit.
MotorStorm Pacific Rift is in my honorable mentions. Once again, only because there were too many other games that I liked better than it, but I love that game. Pure is also in my honorable mentions, just because it was so much fun. Tomb Raider Underworld, because I am a Tomb Raider fanboy. And Ninja Gaiden 2.
Because you're a Ninja Gaiden fanboy.
Because it was actually in my top 10, and it got bumped because of another game.
Oh, nice.
Which is my number 10, which was Mario Kart Wii.
There you go.
Because I totally had forgot how much I played this game, because my Wii hasn't been turned on in like 6 months since I stopped playing it. But
yeah.
When that game first came out, I literally played it every single week.
Yep.
Every week I would play Mario Kart, because that game was so much fun. Number 9 is Left 4 Dead. Because I absolutely adore that game. I think it's a blast. I did the same as Wolverine over there. I got a little burnt because I played it so much. But I guarantee you when I go back to playing it again, I will have just as much fun with it. Number 8 was Dead Space. Absolutely adored that game from beginning to end. Wonderfully designed. Great, great story. Other than the end, I was kind of like, oh, really, that was it, you know? But then I watched the movie, and it gave me a new perspective on everything, and it's just a really well-done game. Number 7, I'm still disappointed Gamma's Khan did not have Mega Man on his list at all, but Mega Man 9 is...
Even I did, Khan. What the hell?
Oh, Mega Man 9, dude.
Thing is, I loved Mega Man 9, but it's just everything on my top 10 I liked a little bit better.
But you didn't even honorable mention it.
The thing is, I should have honorable mentioned that, and I should have honorable mentioned Soul Calibur 4 and Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, you should have. But here's a game nobody had on their frickin' list. It was number 6, which was Rock Band 2.
Yeah, because Rock Band 1 was on my list last year.
I know, but
it's not that much different.
But look at all the songs we've got this year and the improvements on Rock Band 2. I mean, that is the game that I have not played anything else more of.
It actually... Rock Band 2 is on my list. I just didn't read it off on the honorable mentions list because it was on my list last year, and it's really not that much different.
Oh, so awesome, though.
It is. There's no denying it, but it's...
There is. I don't think there is a game that I have not played as much of as Rock Band 2 this year. Number 5 was Soul Calibur 4. Because I have about 50 hours in Soul Calibur 4, and I still play that game.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that game, but I'm a huge fighting game fanatic, so... Number 4 was the Star Wars The Force Unleashed, because, damn it, that is one of the best games I played all year. It was so much fun, and it could stem from the fact that I'm a huge Star Wars fanboy, and I finally get a game that's an action game where I have a lightsaber, and I just get to whoop ass. I love that game. I beat it like 3 times. I absolutely love that game. Now, my top 3 are not in the right order on my list, because I just wrote them down. But if I had to pick a number 3 right now, I would say Little Big Planet is my number 3.
Wow.
And simply because
wow.
It is an absolutely incredibly fun game. I think it has infinite possibilities to be played for the next 2 years, 3 years, and still be fun.
Yeah.
It's turned into my Mario Kart lately, where every week I'll hop on and just play some new levels because they're just so much fun. And I still haven't even got into creating my own level. So, number 2 is Saints Row 2. Because I have put umpteen amount of hours into this game, and I am not tired of playing it yet. I absolutely love it. The co-op is awesome. The single player was awesome. The activities were awesome. The missions were awesome. The story was fucking hilarious. Just all the stuff. The character customization is ridiculous. I mean, you can make a character that looks absolutely... I mean, there are infinite possibilities for character customization. It's just hilarious to see some of the people and their characters online. I mean, they're absolutely hilarious. And I just love the game. I play it the same way almost weekly. I will put it back in and just run around and do an activity or two and just screw around with the game. And it's huge. I mean, it's 50, 60 hours long. So, and it's never boring. And, of course, my number one game, Too Human. No, it's Metal Gear Solid 4. I can't not pick that as my best game of the year.
Wow, split room.
Yeah,
two Metal Gears, two Fallouts.
No doubt.
That's because you two are wrong.
Oh. Nope.
See, I had
That's
to
throw... because you're too impatient.
Oh, I'm not impatient. One of my games of last year was Blue Dragon. Yeah. I just have to have fun, and I'm not having fun. I can't help that. But Metal Gear Solid 4 was easily my favorite game of the year. From beginning to end, that was just, like, the best game. And I would love to go back and play it, but I need 15 hours to sit down and watch it. which kills me because I wish you could just watch the cutscenes. Like, after you beat the game, you should just be able to unlock them and watch them in, like, theater mode.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But you can't do that, which sucks. But I love that game. Absolutely brilliant game. And I'm amazed. Well, I guess I'm not amazed because not anybody here liked it, but nobody even mentioned Devil May Cry.
You know, I was looking at that, and it definitely deserves an honorable mention.
You're right. Not everybody liked it.
No, I know not everybody liked it, but I'm surprised not one person even mentioned it, you know?
I just thought my honorable mention list was getting too long.
My honorable mention list was extremely too long, and there were other games I wanted to throw in there.
Yeah. Oh, there was quite a few, but... Yeah, I mean, it deserves, in my opinion, an honorable mention, so I'm sorry, Capcom. Your game can be on my honorable mention list.
And nobody mentioned Super Street Fighter 2 either, which surprised me, because you guys seem to love it a lot, you know, so...
I don't know who you're talking about those two.
Too many games this year, man.
I know, there was. When I wrote my list, I sat down and I immediately, like, drilled out 10 games. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, what am I missing? And then I started going through all the stuff that I didn't put on there, I'm like, oh, shit. There's a ton of stuff I didn't put on there.
With me, Super Street Fighter 2 would have to be on my honorable mentions because if it was in my top 10, then, of course, then I would have to consider Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest IV to be a part of the top 10 as well. And it would have made things even infinitely more difficult to decide my top 10.
All right. Well, we got a few minutes left. Let's run the news real quick.
Go ahead.
You're not going
to
do it?
No. We're crunched for time. All right. News for Gamers brought to you by this guy that's going to read it right now. There you are. I'll come back next week. You guys aren't paying me enough for this bullshit.
All right. Wii Sports has officially become the best-selling game of all time, edging out Super Mario Brothers at 40.24 million copies.
Wii Sports?
Yep.
Of course, it's not really...
package it with a system.
It's not really fair when you package it in with a system.
That's the only reason.
That's a cheat code.
Well, that's just like the...
up, down, down, left, right, BA start.
That's just like the Wiimote coming with Wii Play. You know, that's cheating, too. Last week's Xbox Live Arcade game, which apparently nobody played, was Interpol.
Actually, I played the demo. And it's one of those, like, search and find, like, little books. You know, you got, like, I Spy.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was interesting.
In an interview with Gamasutra, Treasure CEO Masato Maegawa has revealed that Microsoft asked the company to remake classic shoot-em-up Radiant Silvergun for Xbox Live Arcade. They said they're thinking about it, but not yet convinced about its release because the game is, quote, certainly aged in assorted ways.
Yeah, but it's still awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's a remake, they could make it look better.
Microsoft revealed data showing that Christmas 2008 was the biggest sales period ever in the brand's six-year European history. The Xbox 360 almost doubled those of Christmas 2007.
Whoa, that is considerable.
Turn 10 has confirmed they're working on Forza 3.
Woohoo!
Yes.
If you're a fan of Pretty Woman, you can download Roy Orbison pack on Rock Band.
Pretty Woman.
Bungie has upped Halo 3.
Whoops.
Yeah, when did Halo get an E on the end of it?
It's silent.
Halo 3. It's
silent. Are you Dan Quayle?
Maybe.
Bungie has upped the Halo 3 push-to-talk number. Since the game was launched, any player on a team larger than four had to press the D-pad in order to talk. But now Bungie is upping the limit to six-player teams, meaning that only people playing in big social team big matches need to worry. I got all fucked
big
up.
Big social big team big
they upped
matches.
To six instead of whatever.
There you go.
Big worry.
The Times insists that next month, following the CES, Consumer Electronics Show, Sony will not only announce the closure of several factories in Japan, but will go as far as to say to shut down some of their major divisions, which turned into a big internet debacle about how the PlayStation was going away.
Dying, and there were 6 million articles a day about how the PS3 was doomed.
Yeah, whatever.
All of them said the exact same thing, and
which
all
was
of them
stupid.
Were factually incorrect.
There will be a major update for Gears 2 that will address several bugs, exploits, and features, among other things, increase penalties for quitting matches early, and improve client-side hit detection on the shotgun.
I don't even play Gears 2, and I'm glad they're increasing penalties for quitting matches early.
Japan will get an RE5 and Star Ocean 4 360 bundle, which I bet that Star Ocean bundle sells like crazy.
Those are both very good ideas.
Very, very good ideas.
Electronic Arts announced today it will launch an exclusive EA Hasbro-branded destination within Xbox Live Arcade to bring perennial board games and board game favorites to the Xbox Live Arcade.
They started
interesting
with Monopoly, didn't they?
Well, Monopoly was a disc game.
No, that's true.
If you remember it, developer Softmax has announced that a new Magna Carta game entitled Crimson Stigma is coming to Xbox 360.
Yeah, hopefully I hear that the good. First Magna Carta was terrible?
I didn't play it. I had it, and I sold it. It looks good. Everything about it, like production-wise, was incredible, but the game sucked.
Gotcha.
Talking with Edge Magazine, Xbox 360 product manager Aaron Greenberg said he expects Sony to drop the price of the PlayStation 3 sooner rather than later. He says, quote, "We absolutely expect the PS3 price drop to happen in the next couple months. We're frankly surprised it's taken this long. I would expect they'd have to move on price sooner than later for sure." In sad news this week, Ziff Davis sold the 1UP Network to competitors Hearst, owners of Yu-Gi-Oh.com. Hey, if you say it fast, it sounds like Yu-Gi-Oh. Yu-Gi-Oh.com. Hearst, who more importantly own many of the nation's biggest newspaper, along with ownership stakes in ESPN and the History Channel, will take over ownership of the network's online presence, which means long-running print magazine EGM won't be along for the ride. This will be the last month the magazine is published, bringing it into nearly two decades of independent, influential game editorials.
Sad.
This is complete and utter bull crap. I hate hearing about this.
And all the people that got fired?
Yeah. I mean, that's the worst part. Granted, yeah. I mean, it sucks that EGM's not going to be around anymore. But, I mean, the fact that so many people lost their jobs, that's just – and granted, you know, hopefully they're all such – good journalists that hopefully they'll be back on their feet quickly, but it's still anytime you hear somebody losing their job, it's a terrible thing.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Best wishes to anybody that got laid off that may listen to the show, but
absolutely
probably doesn't.
And
but
a lot of our
good best wishes to you guys.
A lot
that's
of our colleagues
terrible.
Have been shunned out, and it's sad.
That's,
sad day.
It's very sad.
And
I hate
it
to
is.
Hear.
They are going to publish the last one on 1UP.com, so the February issue will be on the. It should be up now, I think.
So I guess we're not getting it in the mail.
No.
We'll have to read it on the interwebs.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. One of the many titles banned in Australia last year due to a rather wonky classification system, Silent Hill Homecoming has now been granted a rating of MA15+, clearing it for launch. So
you're cleared for launch.
Despite an 18.8% drop in year-to-year PlayStation 3 sales in November, Sony states that early internal data puts them at 130% increase over pre-holiday This shit's jargon at this point. I don't know. This percentage.
Over pre-holiday PS3 sales.
Oh, for God's sake.
Either way, their sales increased. That's a great thing.
Yep.
So, awesome. Even if you don't break down the numbers individually, if your sales increase, that's good.
Three new Platinum games for 360, Battlefield Bad Company, Halo 3, and Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Nice.
Ghostbusters, the video game, will arrive the same day as the Blu-ray release for the 25th anniversary on June 16th, 2009.
Timely.
Yeah, I heard it was supposed to be later than that, but they're pushing it up to coincide, which is never a good thing.
That doesn't bode well.
No.
Sega confirmed its plans to launch, plans to publish Gearbox's Aliens Colonel Marine sometime between April and June, which is good.
Yeah.
An exclusive interview with MCV Global President of 2K, Christopher Hartman, said that Bioshock had the potential to emulate the Star Wars series and thus become a video game hexology, which is six games, in case you didn't know.
Ow.
Following the release of a server-side fix last month, Valve has now rolled out a patch for Left 4 Dead to block cheats in player-hosted matches.
Good work.
A Lionhead spokesman... Oh, this is a different story, isn't it?
Yeah.
A Lionhead spokesman has told VideoGame247.com that a release date for the delayed DLC Not Whole Island is, quote, very close, and that applies to the patch, too. The Skate demo is up, so you can go check it out, but it'll be available for the PSN on the 15th. according to VG247, CEO and President Level 5, Akihiro Hino has confirmed that RPG White Knight Chronicles will get a North American release. However, when quizzed on whether U.S. gamers would be able to share online components with Japanese ones, he simply said it hasn't been decided yet.
Well, let's hope so. That game looks like it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really get into the traditional JRPG too much, but I might play that one.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
It does look real good.
According to a V for Video Games piece, a Sony rep has said the company expects Killzone 2 to be sales to be as good, if not better, than Metal Gear Solid 4.
I would be surprised if they're not.
Uwe Boll has been nominated for 4 Razzies.
Yeah.
Haha, you suck.
And I hope you win all 4 of them.
Yeah, because I tried to watch Postal the other day. Yeah, don't ever try to watch that. Pre-order Street Fighter 4 at Game Crazy, and you get a coin.
Limited edition.
Sweet.
Can you use it in the arcade?
I doubt it.
Damn it. Ubisoft has announced that it will make a game based on the TV show Grey's
Anatomy.
Anatomy. Really?
Really?
Wow,
really?
Ubisoft's just putting bullets in their head now.
Okey-doke.
That's terrible. European PS3 owners will get Disgaea 3 next month, finally.
There you go.
According to a nasty, bitter Sega employee, Knight's Journey of Dreams for the Wii was once planned for release on 360 and PS3, but shifted against the wishes of Sonic Team. Yeah, they weren't. I read about that. They weren't real happy about that. Like, you're going to make us downgrade our game because of the popularity of the Wii. Ubisoft announced that the Faction Elite Pack DLC for InWar, which will include 3 new battalions, 1 per faction, and 6 new upgrades, 2 per faction, will cost $3.75 or 300 space bucks. Not Whole Island's release date is apparently January 13th, which we'll see. That's Tuesday.
Yep.
Guitar Hero World Tour jumps on the country pack, you know, the country bandwagon, and puts 3 country songs in Guitar Hero World Tour. The beginning of the end is here.
The beginning of your mom is here.
EA and Paramount Digital Entertainment announced that the Godfather 2 video game will be shipping on the 24th of February, which amazes
me.
Wow,
I forgot that. That was that soon.
I haven't even seen anything on it. And on February 27th in the continental Europe, in the UK, the game is scheduled for release on March 6th. EA also announced that those who pre-order The Godfather 2 at participating retailers worldwide will receive an exclusive crew member named Tony Coppola.
I think it's Tommy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read it wrong. I thought you were going to connect the last one to hire into their family. Harmonix co-founder and CEO Alex Rigopoulos, Baba Ganoush, announced the company is breaking out of the annual development cycle for Rock Band, thank Jesus, to focus on the new Beatles game, which won't be available in Rock Band, which is stupid. Microsoft confirmed that the Xbox Live Primetime channel will finally launch this spring.
Nice.
During the CES conference, Kaz Hirai from Sony let the news that Little Big Planet has sold 1.3 million copies worldwide. In addition, he also revealed that 17 million users now board the internet through PSN's gates, 2.1 million of whom joined in December alone.
Wow.
According to Sony Europe PSN's release schedule, on the 19th of March, William Shatner is set to follow in the hallowed footsteps of David Hasselhoff by appearing in Sony's PSN title, Pain.
Wow.
Whatever. According to CMP Events, the sequel to Mass Effect will feature at GDC 09.
Sweet.
That's right.
Square Enix announced an agreement with Ubisoft to distribute their titles through Japan. Ubisoft is planning to release new versions of both Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six this year.
Looking forward to a new Ghost Recon.
Halo Wars demo will be available on February 5th. Apparently, sweet. Red Bull Island, complete with Red Bull Air Racing, came to home last week. Rock Band DLC this week will be a Lenny Kravitz 4-pack. Are you going to go my way?
Nope.
Square Enix has announced that it's updated the ship date of its upcoming Star Ocean, The Last Hope, from March 3rd to February 24th. Call of Duty 4 sees over 14 million users online.
Wow.
That's a lot of peeps.
Yeah. That is a lot of peeps.
Here's,
you can skip this if you want, since you're running low on time.
All right. D3 Publishers announced that Texas Cheat'em, this Xbox Live arcade game, replaces time usually spent waiting for others to deal or bet in online poker with loads of fun playing cheats or mini games.
Huh.
GameStop saw an increase of 22% over last year, which is good for the economy.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Asylum will apparently have RPG elements, which game doesn't?
Yeah.
I just want to know when it's coming.
Yeah.
At CES 09, CEO Howard Stringer said that PlayStation 3 and PSP have now accumulated a user base of over 61 million units.
Whoa.
EA may have additional layoffs planned for the new year, as a source of the company told Kotaku that the publisher is planning to lay off 400 more employees by the end of March.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
New patch for Fable 2 that finally fixes a slew of bugs, including the infamous unresponsive abbot in the monk's quest, is now live.
No, you don't. It's fine.
X-Men Origins Wolverine site is up and running. You can go there. And the SOCOM update 1.30 should be up, so it should fix all of the stuff that was broken. And Fallout 3 lead producer Jeff Gardner reveals that Broken Steel downloadable content due out in March allows players to take their character all the way to level 30.
You forgot that one.
And a Nintendo patent came to light for a hint system which would allow gamers to essentially let games play themselves.
What's the fun in that?
What? Wow.
Yeah. What's the fun in that?
Light for a hint system which will allow games to play themselves?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That sounds like fun.
That just sounds like an absolute blast.
Well, hey, that's casual gaming for you.
You'll probably do it just
that's
so
like
you can
beyond,
get achievements in crappy games.
That's like
on the Wii?
If it was on the 360, you would probably do it.
I'd rent like Meet the Robinsons. Here, play this for me and get all the achievements. It's magical.
That is stupid.
Okay.
Agreed.
Well, that wraps up our show. And that was the fastest. That was the news the fastest it's ever been done.
Indeed.
Yes.
So check that shit out.
Indeed.
So there.
And once again, thank you to everyone who has rated us or commented on iTunes on the podcast this past week. We greatly appreciate it. Anybody who hasn't done it yet, please go leave us a comment on iTunes.
There you go.
Yes, I second that. iTunes is great. Thanks for the reviews and. If you haven't sent us a review yet, just drop on by and take a minute or two to give a review, and we'll be quite grateful.
Indeed.
We're quite grateful for the reviews that we have already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Superb. Yes. Superlative.
Yes, it really helps us out. If we cross the threshold of 100 reviews, it really gets us out there in iTunes, so
indeed,
in the world of the tunes,
yes.
I think
so,
that explanation went longer than the news.
Indeed. So but anyway,
yeah. Thank you, everybody.
We're outie, Mr. Khan.
Alrighty.
In your mind, the cut that never heals. She's the thief of your heart when you want her to steal. She's the cancer on your brain that drives you insane. She's the one that helps and causes all your pain. She's the truth, she's the lie, the one that makes you cry, makes you happy in the rain. She's the yin to your yang with even all of your faults. To be there when you need her to, can also be the one who will instantly leave you. She will say that it's forever. Now and forever.
We need a new logo.
I know. We're going to get a new logo there.
I like.
I still, my idea is the Space Invader with the headphones on instead of the...
We need somebody to do
RSS signal.
Well, I told you my idea. I still want that.
Yeah, we should do the Jason picture where he's laying on the grass.
No.
Yes.
No, you need something more professional.
That's professional.
That is professional.
No.
I guarantee you we'd get more clicks. It'll make your click bigger.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.